Okay, some of you, again, I'll just use this as a illustration. What I just did with that verse, when I say things like you need to chew on the word, that's what I'm talking about. You need to go back into those verses and what do they say and what do they mean? And because almost every one of you, when you first read accept your lot in life, negativity came. That is not how I read that the first time. Why? Because I have trained my brain not to think that way. And you need to do the same thing. You understand the Bible is consistent. So if it says something like that, then we have to translate that through the New Testament. You hear? So you have to translate. When you read something that sounds negative in the Word or sounds like it could be negative in the Word, you need to translate that through the covenant of promise. And when you translate through that through the covenant of promise and you see what your lot is, it's really good stuff. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, so we'll go ahead and get started this morning in the message. And so the title of this series, it's only a three-part series. Today's part two. We'll finish up next week, is Our Purpose. And as I was thinking about Back to Church Sunday on September 20th, I was thinking, and we finished the last series. I had 3 weeks, and I'm like, well, what should I do during those 3 weeks? Because usually I can't even get my introduction done in 3 weeks. So he's like, you need to talk about, you want people to come back, you want to grow the church, you got to talk about why you're even there. And I'm like, well, we hadn't done that in a long time. So that's where this series came from. And we'll get right into your note page, page one, number one. Last week, we started looking at the purpose of the church, and I asked these questions. Why does the church exist, and what is our purpose? We concluded that the first and most important purpose of the church is to seek and save the lost, right? Okay. And I'm convinced that as long as we recognize that that is our ultimate purpose, the reason we exist is to reach the lost, then I believe we will grow. If we will stay conscious of that, I believe as a church we will grow. In the second chapter of Acts, the church in Jerusalem began on the day of Pentecost. How many people got saved that day? Nope. How many people? Randy had it. How many? 3,000 people got saved that day. So on day one of the church, boom, 3,000 converts in one sitting. That's a pretty good day. And in the fourth chapter, and so that was in the second chapter of Acts. By the fourth chapter of Acts, the church has grown to 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And so in Acts 2:47, it says the Lord added to the church when? Daily. Say daily. Daily. Those who are being saved. It was growing at such a pace, and the disciples had an issue. It's like, how do we take care of all these new Christians? And so let me give you an illustration of what these guys were facing. You know, one of the most exciting times for us is when we have children. Those of you who have children or grandparents, you know that, right? And, you know, the parents rejoice and everybody oohs and ahs over the baby. And then they take the baby home and reality sets in. You know, they're changing diapers, they're losing sleep. Can David say amen? And so they're losing sleep and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with a crying child because they don't tell you. And so the joy of the new birth then is what? It is followed by the responsibility of caring for that child. Is that right? Okay. So in the same way as the church, people come to the Lord and we rejoice. But then comes the responsibility of bringing those baby Christians along in the Lord. Who's going to nurture them? Who's going to teach them? Who's going to pray with them? Who's going to counsel them? Who's going to encourage them? Now, the early church evidently did a pretty good job of this because we read in Acts 2:42, this is what it says. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which means what? They actually listened and obeyed. They understood spiritual authority because they had been hardcore Jews for all their life. So they understood spiritual authority. So they understood that if they're accepting this teaching, that they have to follow the apostles' teaching. So all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. You see, there's a second part of our purpose, And that is to nurture and to build our build up Christians and to help them be all that they can be in life. Now, with that in mind, listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. These are the what?
Gifts.
They're what?
Gifts.
The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. We call it the fivefold ministry. What are they? Yep. And what are they to the church? They're gifts. So I function in the office of a pastor, but my real anointing is in being a teacher. Being an evangelist is really not even on my radar screen. I can function in the prophetic from time to time, and being an apostle is really not on my radar screen. So we cross over a little bit, but God has something. And so, you know, our friend Lowell Mims, what is he? Oh, yeah, that's all he is. And, you know, evangelists think everybody ought to be an evangelist. Why? Because evangelists go out and they just preach the word and they throw it on you and they, you know, and they throw it against the wall and see what'll stick. And, you know, they just do their thing. And they don't understand why everybody else doesn't do that. Well, they walk in the office and in the function of an evangelist. And that's what they do. And so these five groups are gifts that Christ gave the church. Say, Pastor, you're a gift.
Pastor, you're a gift.
No, gee, thanks. Now, let's find out what the responsibility of those gifts are. Their responsibility, the fivefold ministry, their responsibility is to equip God's people. What does it say?
No.
That is not the way the church reads that. The way the church reads that is their responsibility is to go out and do everything. You make all the visits, you go to the hospital, you pray for the sick, you do this, you do that, you do everything. Is that what the Bible says?
No.
Their responsibility is to what?
Equip
God's people for what? To do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So whose responsibility is it to build up the church? Raise your hands, every one of you. I see you out there, you're not raising your hand. It is your responsibility to build up the church. Well, I'm sitting here in my pajamas having coffee. Well, you know what? Have your pajamas and have your coffee, but get online, get on Facebook, and do one of those, what's that called, a meeting? A watch party. Thank you very much. And do something. Because it is not my responsibility. Now, it's my responsibility as a believer, but as pastor and teacher, that is not my responsibility. There, us, is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue. People say, well, yeah, that's what it was. He was very clear. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Have we got there yet?
No.
So this continues. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Now, let's stop there for a minute, because there's too much of that going on right now. You got people out there teaching all kinds of stuff. And you got some good ones. Okay, so like a few years ago, Joseph Prince really was given the task of teaching grace. And he does a very good job of it. But then behind him, because he does a good job of teaching it, is grace isn't something we earn. Grace is something we're given. But we still have to do our part as Christians. But now, there's people that came behind him that are saying, it doesn't matter what you do. We're saved by grace. All of that other stuff is works and it's all under the law. And we don't have to do anything. You can do what you want, say what you want, live how you want. You can do anything you want. Obedience doesn't count anymore because that's works. Now, if I went and picked stuff out of the Bible, I could make that make sense. But when you put it in reference to the whole Bible, and you look at Paul, you know, Paul was the first one to teach on grace. And he said over and over again about doing the works of the ministry. Well, works would be obedience to what God says. Okay? So if the guy that first introduced grace didn't know that you didn't have to do that, it's funny how, you know, these new pastors today think that they know more than Paul did. I kind of find that amazing. So what I'm saying here is that it's true. I'm going to read verse 14 again. Then we will no longer be immature like children. So you get a guy like Joseph Prince that comes along, and grace isn't anything new. God just gave him some insight to it, and he's a great teacher on it. And I've read his books on it, and he does a great job of balance. But again, then you take people that hear that and go, oh, man, I could probably build a big church if I just told everybody they can do whatever they want to do and it doesn't matter. And you see where I'm going with this. And they have. So let's look at this again. Verse 14. So when we then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Why? Because you have the wisdom of God and the mind of Christ, and you're grounded in the Word, because this fivefold ministry up here, these gifts, have taught you appropriately. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. There is nobody. Look, I've functioned in the office of pastor. I walk in the anointing of a teacher. But that doesn't make me any more special than David or Noel or Siobhan or Lee or anybody else. We're all just people doing our part. You know, when Pastor Margarita is in there with the nursery children, she is doing her part to complete the whole body. When we do these things, so we're having a work day here, September 19th. I'll get there in a minute. I'll come back to that. So what I'm trying to get apart is if we all do what God's called us to do, all the work gets done. Are you listening to me? And then we're complete. But when you don't do what God's called you to do, either it doesn't get done or somebody else has to pick up the slack for you. I don't hear any amens right now. Verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. How? As each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This is an area that me as an individual and us as a church have to improve on. I need you to understand something. And I need you not to sleep. I need you not to fall asleep. If you're going to fall asleep, stand up and go to the back. Because I need you to listen to this. When in my 20s, I heard the Word of Faith message, I just took it. And I ran with it, and I digested it, and I ate it, and I didn't need your help. I needed those men and women on the stage teaching me, but I didn't need to be encouraged by anybody. I got all the encouragement I needed out of what I was learning. Man, it took me from being slow and stupid to smart. It took me from probably never amounting to anything to amounting to a whole lot. It took me from what had been a very mediocre life to being a very prosperous life. It took me, and I saw this in the Word. And I saw that in the Word, I could be wise and I could be smart. I didn't need anybody to encourage me. But that's my type A driver, choleric personality. But not everybody's like that. So for me, it's a challenge to be all slap you on the back. How you doing? I mean, you know, I'll ask you how you doing, but it's, you know, that's just not me. Now, I have a lady that I'm acquainted with, and I've been acquainted with her now for heading towards a year. And I'm around her quite a bit. She's older than I am. And their church has been shut down since the beginning. They hadn't even started back yet. And she goes to a denominational high church. And I listen to her talk pretty much every week about things like, well, you know, at her church, in front of her church, because of where it's located, they have what's called a blessing box. So where the homeless can go get food and clothes and stuff. And every morning at 7:30, every morning at 7:30, 7 days a week, people show up there to stock that blessing box. She just moved. And her Sunday school class helped her. Once she got into her new place, that they were giving her gift cards, they were buying her furniture, and she said, yeah, my class and the class next door to mine, so, you know, whatever that means, I guess the class over here, you know, they were all pitching and helping. Somebody's sick, they're taking meals. Somebody needs something, they're doing this. You know, and it made me think, you know, David was laid out for 3 weeks. Now, I prayed for him. I knew he was having trouble, and I was praying for him, and I was standing in the gap for him. But how many of us called and offered to take dinner? How many of us, you know, we consider this place so tight that if one of us is in a crisis, we're all in a crisis? I hear her talking about this stuff every week, and I'm thinking, I am a terrible pastor. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, and I've been spending a lot of time talking to the Lord about this. Because it's like, Lord, I'm not the cruise director. That is not my gifting. To rally people and get them to do this for this. That is not my gifting. I wish it was, but it's not. Send me somebody to help me. Rally the people. Motivate the people. Because we're not. And we don't. And people aren't like me. People, all everybody's not a type A choleric driver. A lot of people need that stroking. They need that help. They need that encouragement. They need somebody to pull them along. They need somebody to call them when they're not in church after, you know, like the second week. And say, hey, what you doing? Oh, you know, I'm having such a hard time in my business. Well, get your back in church where it belongs. Amen. Well, I'm discouraged. Yeah, exactly. Get yourself back in church where you belong. I don't know how to fix this. I'm praying and asking God to help me, but I'm asking him to send me somebody to help me because that is just not my calling. It's not my skill set. But it makes me feel terrible that we haven't been doing it. Not by condemnation, because I don't get under condemnation. But it just makes me feel bad that we take people that we consider brothers and sisters in the Lord, but yet, you know, we don't think it's important enough to check on them. God, forgive me. And forgive us as a church. So let's talk about building each other up, growing and growing as Christians. Here's some reasons why it is vitally important to grow. Number 3 on your insert. We grow as Christians because growing Christians are full of joy. If you're grumbling and you're complaining, if you're not joyful in the Lord, it is probably a strong indication that you're not growing in the Lord. On the other hand, growing Christians are excited about what the Lord is doing. Okay. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to think about raising your hand. How many of you in here are excited about what the Lord is doing? You don't have to raise your hand. In your own personal life, on an everyday basis. See, growing Christians are excited. And you know that He is coming again, and you know that you're excited about that, but you're excited to see what He's going to do in the church, and you're excited to see what He's going to do in your life. And so you're excited about what He's going to do through you and your home, because growing Christians are joyful Christians. Say it with me. Growing Christians are joyful Christians. The only way to grow and be joyous in hard times is to stop focusing on you and give your life away. Matthew 10:39. Put it on the screen. We'll do the New Living first, and then we'll go to the Message. If you cling to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. Now, let's stop. When Jesus talks about life, what is He talking about? Life. Go back to our offering scripture. Accept your lot in life. Life. Okay, so if you cling to your life, if you cling to all the stuff that makes you you, just like, it's me, you'll lose your life. You'll lose the life that God has for you. But if you give up your life for me, so first you got to turn your life over to Him, and then life starts. In every part of life, then you'll find it. What will you find? Life. You'll find salvation. You find peace, joy, prosperity, health. You find life. But to find life, let's put it this way. Life is about that big. Your life is about that big. The life He has for you is about that big. So if you're not willing to give up your life for the life He has for you, so you'll lose it. Because you're not good enough to accomplish what needs to be done. Switch over to the Message. Let's look at that. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. That goes in your home. It goes in your marriage. It goes in your business. It goes in your church. It goes in your spiritual walk. It goes in every part of your life. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. Not the self God has you to be. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. What is God's system? In everything. Exactly. God's system for everything God does is sowing and reaping. So if you're not willing to give your life away, you won't reap the life that would bring back. In every area of life. Am I making sense to anybody? It's all about giving yourself away. Number four. Again, it is vitally important that as we grow as Christians, because growing Christians are willing Christians. One of the dangers in a church is that people sometimes think that they're not needed. They think there's so many talented people. You know, people, talk about my son for a minute. Well, you know, Pastor David can play every instrument on the planet. It's probably an exaggeration to a point, but not much. He can sing. He can preach. He knows every piece of technology that we have better than anybody else. You know, if I was gifted like that, I would serve. But I'm not. Well, neither am I. But that's what people do. Well, I can't. Or they say, well, you know, there's others and they'll do what needs to be done. They don't need me. And that is not true. In fact, there are many opportunities to exercise the abilities and the talents that God has given you. We got a work day coming up. And if it's like every other work day, the same four or five people will show up. If you work or if you have little children you got to take care of, if there's a reason, there's a reason. But if it's because 10 o'clock is too early for you on Saturday morning, that is no reason. The same people we have a work day here. And the same three, four, five people come every time. Nobody else cares. Nobody else thinks about it. This is our house. It's not my house. We have a night of prayer. Same four, five, six, seven people will show up. Where's the rest of you? And you. Well, you say, you know, I'm not coming to the church right now, Pastor. Let us know. We'll Zoom you in. We'll find a way for you to participate. We have the technology. You know, I feel like a $6 million man, you know. The young people are like, what? Remember, we have the ability. You know, remember in the intro? Yeah, we can rebuild him. We need people to say this. Sure, I'll help set up chairs, Pastor. I'll help set up tables. I'll help clean the kitchen. I'll help maintain the building. I'll be glad to do my best in whatever needs to be done. And I'm here to serve and to be a blessing. So, yeah, you have to say it because you're a pastor. Well, I've been pastor for a while. But for many, 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 many decades before that, I was not pastor anywhere doing anything. But if the doors were open, I was at the church. If they needed help, I was at the church. If they needed something done, I was at the church. You say, yeah, but if we have something on Saturdays, you hardly ever come. Yeah, you're right. Because I have a business to run. I take off on Tuesdays to do church work. But I know y'all think this just comes right out of me and I don't have to do anything. But I am busy on Saturdays. I am studying. I'm going through my sermon at least three times. I'm writing the bulletin. I'm writing the note page. I'm busy on Saturday getting ready to feed you on Sunday. So Saturdays are not a good day for me. On occasion, I'll go do something on Saturday, but normally I don't go do things on Saturday. What did we just read? That we all have our part. And we all need to be part of the body of Christ, because as every part does its part, but it takes willing people. And we need to be a people that when the offering plate goes by, whether it's here or it's in your pajamas, we need to be a people that contribute. Not because we have to, not because somebody's twisting our arm. I've never twisted an arm on an offering in my life that I know of. Not because the church has some deficit and if you don't give today, you know, we won't be here next week, because that's just not the case. We give because we love God and we're growing in our faith. And we know that, and we all want to prosper, and we know that's his system. We give because we are privileged. Say privileged. Privileged. We give because we are privileged to be a part of the most important work on planet Earth. Number five. Finally, it is vitally important that we grow as Christians, because growing Christians are less vulnerable to temptation. Switch over to page two. Just as Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness following his baptism, when you give your heart and you give your soul to Jesus, Satan is going to come after you as well. You're going to have an attack. So often we are most vulnerable to temptation in times of crisis. Would you agree with that? I'd agree with that. So it's important that we grow as Christians, because growing Christians will have a faith that doesn't collapse in such times. In the parable of the sower, okay, so Matthew 13, 1 through 23, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read that whole passage. But one of the types of soils or people's heart that he talks to is shallow soil. Anybody ever noticed that it rains, you run your sprinklers, and it goes down the driveway, and 2 days later, a crack in your driveway, a weed pops up? But let it be 100 degrees for a few days, and it dies. Why? Because there was enough moisture stuck in that piece of concrete for it to germinate and grow, but there's no soil. There's nothing for its roots to go into. And that's what Jesus was talking about. How, you know, the rain comes, the water comes, the Word of God comes, and people get excited about the Word of God. And so they get into it and they bloom. And first to see, you know, the people that they are just excited. But then. Yeah, worries and troubles come and life doesn't turn out quite the way they thought. Well, that pastor said that I would prosper. And I actually tithed for the first time and it was hard. And since it doesn't turn out the way they thought it should, and since the word has no roots down into their person, no down into their heart, the word withers and dies, and so does their joy, and so does their strength. You ever met that person? You ever been that person? Yes, there are people who just flirt with Christianity. They have a shallow faith, and when something tragic happens, their faith withers and dies. Maybe the doctor gives them some bad news. Or maybe a loved one dies. Or maybe there's trouble on the job or in the family or in the marriage, and you're not really sure what the future holds. Is your faith deep enough to see you through all of that? Or do you fall back to the ways of the world, the ways you used to be, reacting to things in bitterness and resentment instead of walking in faith? It's simple, a question, and it all comes down to what we read in Matthew 10:39. Have you given your life away? Or are you still trying to do things your way? That's the question. Because if you've given your life away, it's in His hands. But if you're still trying to handle it, He'll let you. You see, if we have a deep and growing faith, nothing that happens in life will be able to uproot us. So it's vitally important that we grow as Christians. And here's two ways we can do that. Number one, we can grow by studying the Word of God together. If you've been a Christian for 5 or 10 years and all you know about the Bible is John 3:16, somebody says, what's that? God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that he believes in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh yeah, I heard that once. If that's all you know about the Bible, then you're still a spiritual baby. You're drinking milk and it's time you grow up. And that is why we offer opportunities to study the Word of God. Normally, when we're not dealing with COVID-19, we have Sunday morning Bible classes for all ages in this building. We have home groups. Right now we're doing the Wednesday evening Bible studies with the women at 7 and the men at 8 via Zoom. Pastor Zach does his class for the youth at 4 o'clock on Sundays. So we're still having time to study together. We have many, many sermons series online with hundreds of sermons, hundreds of messages. They're all on Vimeo, all the way back to the old building. Those series and those messages, many, many series and hundreds of messages, they're all there. All you got to do is go to the website, click on Vimeo. It'll take you into our Vimeo area. And so you think, well, I need something on prosperity. Well, there's series in there. I need something on health. Well, we'll go look up one of the series we did on health, or go look at one of the messages where we did the whole message on communion. Well, I need something on peace. There's messages on peace. Grace. We did 18 weeks on grace. You know, now that was years ago, but it's in there. My point is, we're doing everything we can to get the Word to you, given where we are today and the resources that are available. We charge nothing for nothing. I mean, it's not like some of these things, well, to get to the primary content, you have to, no, go ahead Vimeo and go watch. Learn. Get in the Word. Join on Wednesday nights, the men and the women. Join, if you're a young adult or a youth, get on with Pastor Zach at 4 on Sundays. Come to church. You know, we have a great little bookstore in the back of this church that's filled with faith books written by some of the best faith teachers, men and women, that have ever existed. We have those. It's a resource. It's available. Secondly, we can grow through fellowship with other Christians. The Word of God tells us many things to do for one another. We're to love one another, pray for one another. We are to bear each other's burdens. We are to extend hospitality to one another. We are to forgive one another. And the list goes on and on. Fellowship is a tremendously important in developing a feeling of family. And there are opportunities for fellowship here. But I'll be the first to say, we got to get better. Back to what I said a little while ago. We just have to get better at this. I need God's wisdom on how to do that. You say, well, that ought to be pretty simple. Well, maybe you've got a gifting to that, and maybe you ought to volunteer to help me. Because to me, that's not so simple. But on the other hand, when we have times of fellowship and we don't take advantage of those times, then we're missing out on opportunities to grow. Whether that's helping, like do something at the church, work in a ministry at the church. I mean, we have lots of stuff that needs to be done. You know, as people come back to church, we got to rebuild the praise team. As people come back to church, we got to get a children's pastor. As people come back to church, there are things that we have to do. You know, we need each other. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So if we're not interacting with other Christians, our brothers and sisters, then we're missing out on one of the ways that we can grow. Now, I realize you can come to church and you can sit there, and this is what has happened mostly in this church, and I know it. We become casually acquainted with a few people, and that may be helpful, but we ought to mean more to each other than just that. Real fellowship grows deeper and stronger as we share together in the activities and the services of the church. How do I get people to do that? How do I get people that haven't been in the church in months to do that? I don't know. But with God's wisdom and His help, He'll help us figure that out. Real fellowship grows deeper and stronger as we share. And so finally, you can know whether you're growing or not. This is number two. By what are some of the evidences of growth? Number one, you know you're growing if your real commitment is to God and His Word, and not some person or some church organization. Now, there are people listening to me, and they would not leave their church for anything. Even though nobody's got saved in 26 years. They haven't heard an altar call since the last time they can remember. Why? Because they worship the organization, not God. I read a story this week, and I'm going to read to you because, you know, I do research online to find illustrations so I can kind of make a point. And I read this story this week. I'm like, yeah, I have seen this happen. I have seen this happen. So there's this church. It's Peachtree Christian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. A guy who pastored it for many, many years, his name was Dr. Robert Burns. And he was a great speaker, apparently. I've never heard him preach, but apparently people love to hear this guy preach. And the church grew to many, many, many hundreds and hundreds every single Sunday. But when the associate minister was scheduled to preach, what happened? Yeah, people didn't come. So the church leaders decided not to announce when Dr. Burns was not going to preach. So as a result, people would come. And after the offering, the associate pastor would get up to preach. And people actually got up and left. And it was an embarrassment to the associate pastor. It was an embarrassment to the leadership of the church. And it was an embarrassment to the church. Then one Sunday morning, this is why I put this in here, because I love this. The associate pastor stood up real quick before anybody had time to leave. The offering's over. He ran up there real fast. And he said, everybody keep your seat for a second. Now, for those of you that have come to worship Dr. Burns, you may leave. But for those who came to worship the Lord, please turn your Bibles and read with me so-and-so. And the way the story goes is you could hear a pin drop in that place, and all you heard was Bible pages turning. We don't come to worship man. We don't come to impress anyone or with some, you know, ulterior motive. You know, I'm probably my profession is probably two of the worst, because I'm an insurance agent and I'm a financial services guy. That's what I do for a living. And I cannot tell you how many insurance agents and financial services guys go to big churches strictly to make friends, to sell insurance or do financial services. That is their motive. That's what they're there for. And once they get everybody to think in that big church, they head to the next big church. We are not here to do that. In fact, most Sundays, you know, sometimes I just put it in there by habit. But most Sundays, if you come up to me, and many of you are my customers, and that's great. But we don't talk about it at church. But if you come up to me and say, oh, can I have one of your business cards? Most Sundays, I'm going to say, I don't have them. I don't bring them to church. Why? I'm not here to do that. We're not here for anything but the Lord and each other. Period. We don't come for any other reason. The one and only reason we come is to worship God. And the church needs to learn that. People need to learn that. You know, it used to irritate me. You know, I know my pastor, Pastor George, is probably the most gracious man that anybody would ever meet. But I'm not him. And if you'll remember, you know, our home church is a huge mega church, right? And so those of you that came from there, now, for those of you watching, they didn't come from there badly. Pastor George sent them with me. But at the end of his message, when he would do an altar call, he'd also say, every head bowed, and please keep your seat unless you have a ministry assignment you have to leave. Like, I always had to leave because I had to get up to get the CD from the production booth. We had to get the bookstore open, get the CDs making, so when service was out, you know, we would be ready. But there were a few of us. But as soon as he would go to call for the lost, those of you that came with me, what would happen? A lot of people would just get up and leave. And as we talked about last week, that's the most important part of the service. And it's disrespectful. And it ought not happen. People aren't trained. And so, you know, he's so gracious, he would just say, please don't get up unless you have to. And people didn't listen. They just get up and leave. I wanted to go beat some people. And you know, if I'd been up there, it would have been ugly. Because they'd all started walking, and I just said, stop. Everybody stop. You know, I'd just gone off. So thank God. God's gracious to me, and I have a congregation that has been trained and will not do that. Because that is the most important part of the service. And so we have to be respectful of what the Lord is doing, right? So we're mature when we can worship the Lord regardless of who the preacher is, who the leaders are, who the members are. You know, we get people that come in and they say, oh, this is my church. Pastor, God's called me to this church. And 4 months later, not here, you talk to them. Well, I don't like the way so-and-so does this. I thought God called you to this church. Well, you know, I guess I missed because, yeah, and they just stump, you know. Either God calls you, and God will call you to church. He has a place for everybody. Okay? So he has a place for you. He has a place for me. He has a place for you watching. He has a place for everybody. Because what do we read when we started? He'll put the body of Christ together how he needs it to function correctly, right? But if you're leaving a church or going to a church because somebody needs to make sure you feel good or feel bad, that's the wrong reason. We go to church Because now, new Christians, they don't know how to do that. I mean, they just stumble into a church because they stumble into a church. You get them saved, and then you help them grow up. But we need to be building our faith on Jesus Christ because he's the one we worship. Amen? Number three, which is number two. You know you're, number three on your insert, number two of my points here. You know you're growing if you are regular in your attendance at worship. And I'm probably not talking to most of y'all because y'all come. And I know that's very elementary, but I think the attitude of many towards worship is way too casual and has gotten worse through the last 6 months. For such people, attending worship services is something they do when it is convenient. If the weather is cooperative, if there aren't too many conflicts, if because of COVID-19, they just don't want to sleep late. You know, if it's convenient, then they'll either show up in person or online. But if it's not, it's not a priority. It's only something they do if it doesn't inconvenience them. When my children were growing up, it's been this way ever since and before. Church doors are open, we're there. 3 months old, we're there. 13 months old, we're there. 3 years old, we're there. 6 years old, we're there. 14 years old, we're there. Doors are open, we're there. And back then, that meant Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and special meetings during the week many times. Doors open, we're there. Doors open, we're there. Doors open, we're there. Why? It is a priority. I couldn't tell you how many times I had to fly in on a Wednesday to make Sunday night service. I mean, Wednesday night service. It's a priority. It has to be a priority in your life. You cannot be casual about this. And I think we've become too casual. We failed to grasp the importance of this place and the one we meet here. And that's going to happen, you know, in what's going to happen when we come in his name? See, this is God's gathering place. And when you gather here with others, you're sitting in the company of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And as we've been saying, we are stronger together. Matthew 18:20 confirms what I just said. It says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them." Understand, he is here when we are here. Otherwise, this is just a building no different than any other building. The only thing that makes this place a church is us when we gather here in his name. Then we are a church. When we leave, this is a building. We call it a church to give it a reference. But this building is not the church. We are the church. And this is our gathering place. Look at what Hebrews 10:25 tells us about coming to church. This is not a time to pull away and neglect meeting together. As some have formed the habit of doing. Because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward. Amen. Well, I don't think I have to be there. Look, you argue with Hebrews. I'm not going to. You and the Holy Spirit go have a talk. Because maybe he got it wrong and you're right. So a growing Christian, it means that I'm going to be here because I have an appointment with him and I have an appointment with you. I have a responsibility to be here for him, but I don't mean as pastor, I mean as a member, I also have a responsibility to be here for you. How can we encourage each other if we're not here? It's got to be a priority. Say, it's got to be a priority. Number four in your insert, number three in my notes. You know you're growing if you're regularly reading God's Word and spending time in prayer. If you need a little help with that, if that's new to you, again, we have some great prayer books at the bookstore, and you can get some help on getting a habit and learning how to do that. You see, it's one thing to study with other people and, you know, go to Sunday school, Bible studies, whatever. But it's another to have that personal time every day when you and the Lord get together and you spend time with Him. It's critical to your growth. Number five. Finally, you will have an effective Christian witness if you are growing in your faith. See, God needs mature Christians, ministers, ambassadors who aren't ashamed of their faith and who are willing to share that faith at work, at play, at school, at church, wherever they are. Hey, guys in the back, would you do me a favor? Put the bulletin back up for just a minute. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to do that, but they got to scroll through all these screens. Okay, what is the top, underneath the logo, what does that say up there? Where every member is a minister. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want to ask the question. How many of you feel that way? How many of you, when you get up in the morning, you're a minister? Or how many of you are complaining about this and that in life? Remember, the fivefold ministry is to equip the church. So who are the real ministers?
We are.
Yeah, we are. I stepped on too many toes yet? Let me give you an illustration. There's a story that's told about a king who longed for a son. And years passed, and finally God answered his prayer, and the boy was born. And the king, the queen, and the whole kingdom were so happy. And he was such a perfect child, and everybody was happy. And when he was 6 years old, he fell off a horse. And the injuries were pretty bad, and he was partially paralyzed. And the king and the queen and the kingdom, they all mourned. But instead of getting mad at God or bitter, the king did something strange. He instructed the royal sculptor to make a statue of a man standing strong and straight. And every day they wheeled that boy out there in that courtyard to look at that statue that had been placed there. And the little boy looked at that statue every day of that man standing tall and straight and strong. And the story says that gradually the boy sought to follow his prescribed exercises, and that the spine started to straighten, strength came back into his muscles and his bones. Finally, they arrived when that boy stood up in the shadow of that statue. And as the kingdom looked on, lo and behold, they saw the boy bore a likeness to the statue. He had become what he had been looking at every day. Number six on your insert, and I close. You become what you envision. Say,
I become
what I envision.
What I envision.
You know, God places before us his only son. He says, look at him, become like him, and the more you look at him, the more you read his word, the more you will grow to be like him. The church's purpose is to win the lost and build up people that get saved. We don't want anybody lost. We want to make sure that everybody is involved in the word, in prayer, and in growing every day. And maybe you have a decision that you need to make today. You know, maybe there's something that you will allow God to do in your life to help you get back on course again to make sure that you're growing in your faith. We need each other. We need the church, and we are stronger together. Take a look.
Thank you. Welcome to church. The church has always been defined as the people who comprise it. And never just a building for gatherings. The church has never been confined to four walls. Because the heart of the church is to reach out to the community and serve. The church is people like you and me, connecting with each other through our faith and being there for each other when we need it most, like right now. In the first years of Christianity, nursing developed as an outreach of the church. This included risking their own health to care for the sick, feeding the hungry, caring for widows and orphans, and clothing the poor. In 369 AD, the church built the first hospital as a place to care for those who could not care for themselves. Fast forward to COVID-19. The virus hit us all hard. The isolation was a new and difficult reality for us. We missed spending time in person with our friends and family. We worried about the pandemic spreading. We were forced to deal with the financial effects of shutting down. In the midst of the hopelessness and fear, the church stepped up once again. We delivered millions of pounds of food to families in need. We reached out to people online to spread the gospel's steadfast message of hope. We stayed connected to each other and our neighbors through whatever means we had to. We realized we need each other more than ever before. And we realized we'll get through this together. We learned that we are stronger together. Now, as things reopen and we can see each other in person, we have a renewed appreciation for moments spent with our loved ones and those in our community. And we, as the church, will continue to reach out to those in need. The world still faces as much trouble as ever, but no matter what happens, we're in this together, and we are stronger together.
We don't need to feel isolated and apart from other people. And if you're here in the building or watching and you don't know Christ, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, then we extend his invitation and we pray that you'll respond to him. I want you to look at Luke 6:38. Normally we use Luke 6:38 in the offering. But the way the message translates that is amazing. What do we talk about out of Matthew? We have to give our life away, right? If you want to be everything that you can be in every part of your life, it has to be more about them than it is about you. Now look at this in the message. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not mere given back, but not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, that is God's way. And that's you know, it's almost contradictory if you just read it. keeps us giving, not getting is God's way. But it says if you'll give, you won't merely get it back. You'll give it back with bonus and blessing. See, it's an attitude. It's heart. Am I willing to risk giving it away so that then God can turn it and use it his way? And I ask that same question of all of us. Are you willing to give it away, to give you away, to take the risk? Or is it all about you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, or you say, Pastor, I'm beginning to understand, I really need to get serious about this, and I need to just ask God to forgive me, and I need to move on and get serious with God. I need to be part of the church and not some isolated thing out there. So if you want to give your life to Christ, or if you want to just rededicate your life to him this morning, if you're in this building, just lift a hand and let me see that. If you're watching or listening, just respond to God. Because we're going to pray a prayer together. People think, well, can it be that simple? And if it's said from your heart, it can be. Because that's what will change you. So let's all pray this together. We can. So please pray after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I choose to give my life away. To acknowledge that Christ gave his life away for me. And Jesus, I accept what you did for me on Calvary. I thank you for saving me and loving me and giving your life away for me. Now I dedicate myself and I give my life away to you so that you can make my life what it should be. I thank you for it. It's in your name I pray. Amen. We've got one more week on this topic of our purpose. And then we have Back to Church Sunday the following week, in 2 weeks. I hope you are understanding how important caring about people really is. I hope you will go out of your way to invite people. And even if they won't come here, have them watch. Get a hold of them after service, go through the note page together and talk to them. But there's lots of excuses we could give. But we have the technology to make it available to pretty much anybody everywhere. And I just pray we will take the opportunity we have. And it's a simple invitation. You know, hey, we're having Back to Church Sunday, and I understand you may not want to come, but you can watch. You know, it's time to get everybody back to church and back going. And because all of us have people we know that have stepped out of church, and the longer this has gone on, the further they have stepped out of church. We all know people like that. So I hope you're praying and asking God who you can invite. And let's fill this building up. Let's crush any numbers we've ever seen as far as video attendance. And you know, we're not going to fill up every chair. We're going to skip every other row. We're going to do the things we know to do. We're going to, you know, take your temperature when you come in. You're going to wear a mask. I mean, the whole thing. But it's time to go back to church. Amen? Amen. And it's time to go back to church with the right heart and a right attitude. And Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word today. I thank you for the opportunity to just be a part of the family of God. I love you and I praise you and I honor you. And Father, I pray that you would help us to take these messages to heart and realize that we are all important. You need every one of us to do our part. And I thank you, Lord God, for helping us to see that and to be the person you need us to be. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. As I do every week, angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week. Go forth and prepare our way. Keep us safe and protected. Give us, guide us into places that we should go, and places that you just close those doors if we shouldn't go there. I thank you, Father, for it. I receive it. Amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.